Today we celebrate the feast day of Corpus Christi, that is, the body of Christ. And we hear in our opening prayer today that this Eucharist that we celebrate is a mystery. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is something we know nothing about, right? Wrong. A mystery is something we only know some things about. It is from God, and so we do have some understanding, just not a complete understanding. And one of the things that can help you to understand the Eucharist is to understand its origins in the Old Testament. You see, most of what we celebrate as Catholics really has its origins in Judaism. And so understanding Judaism as it was in the Old Testament can really help us to understand our Catholicism. And one such example is the celebration of the day Yom Kippur. This is the Jewish Day of Atonement, where they tried to atone for their sins. On this day, the high priest would enter the sanctuary with two animals to do two very different things, both pointing to the Eucharist, which you will receive today. Now, the first animal was a goat. And the high priest would lay hands on the goat. And we're not talking about laying hands like, come here, goat. But rather more of a ceremonial laying on of hands. Like he's putting his hands on his head to symbolize the transfer of something. Now, it's significant, number one, that it was the high priest that did it. Why? Because in the Jewish faith, and still today in our Catholic faith, the forgiveness of sins is mediated through the priest. This is why we go to confession. This is why the priest stands at the head of the congregation today. Because that sin is remitted through mediation through the priest. In fact, you'll hear in the first Eucharistic prayer, which we'll use today, at the very beginning, it says, "Remember, Lord, your servants and all gathered here," that's you, "whose faith and devotion are known to you. For them we offer you the sacrifice of praise," or they offer it for themselves and all who are dear to them. It's this idea that the priest stands at the head of the whole body offering a sacrifice of praise to God. Now, when the high priest would lay his hands on this goat, it symbolized the transfer of sin. Okay? So you bring your sin, and then it's transferred to the priest, and the priest transfers it to the goat. This is where we get the idea and the term scapegoat, because the sin is transferred to the priest, somebody to blame it on, if you will. And through the sacraments, we lay our sins upon Jesus. He is our scapegoat. This is why in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which many of you pray, it says, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." In fact, what we're saying to God the Father is, look upon Jesus and what he did and forgive us. Why? Because he's our scapegoat. Now, once the high priest had laid hands on the scapegoat, it was led out of the community by one of the Levites, one of the priestly class. Number one, this symbolized that sin does not have its place within the community. And not just within a person, but within the whole community. And we live in a culture where really this idea of sin affecting the whole is really not entertained at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. As long as you do what you want to, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, then you're good. No. Sin affects the communities in ways that we sometimes don't even see. Whether it's gossip or a lack of stewardship or impurity, there are spiritual unseen consequences in the community. Now, this Levite was sent out with the goat outside the community into the wilderness, and the Levite was instructed to make sure to not look back. Now, why? Well, there's some tie-in there. You remember what happens to Lot's wife when they're leaving Sodom, and they're told not to look back. But it's a great lesson for us today that when it comes to our sins, we don't look back. And too many of us spend too much time looking into the past at our past sins and not looking at where God has blessed us today and moving forward. The Levite would then leave the goat out in the wilderness and return to the camp, where he would purify himself before entering back into the camp. And on the Jewish Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, this ceremony, this transferring of sin to the scapegoat was celebrated. The same celebration we ask the Father to look upon today as we transfer our sin to Jesus. Now, the second animal used on Yom Kippur was a lamb. And this lamb was sacrificed. That is, cut open, disemboweled, and the parts used for different things. And God had instructed that this lamb be an unblemished new lamb. Now, most of us have seen, in fact, I've seen this on Facebook recently, these pictures of baby animals, right? Like, what does a baby bunny look like? And what does a kitty, you know, newborn kitty look like? And a cute little puppy, right? They look all really cute, right? So what about a newborn lamb? It looks pretty cute, too. And that's the one that God is asking for. You see, he's asking for the very first and the very best of what we have. It'd be pretty tempting to say, you know, I've got this old lamb who's, well, he's about ready to die, and, you know, he's looked pretty gnarly. Why don't you take him, Lord? This would maybe be analogous to say you have a friend who doesn't have a car and he needs to get to work, and you happen to have two cars. And so sitting inside of your garage is a Ferrari and a Geo Metro from 1980s. Nothing against anybody who drives Geo Metros. And so your friend comes to you and you say, yeah, you can borrow one of my cars. Which one are you going to give him? Well, typically most of us would say, well, here's the keys to the Geo. You're not touching my Ferrari. But in the Christian mindset, it's just the opposite. It says, here you go. Have the first and the best of what I have. This is our attitude towards God and our attitude towards others. You see, when it comes to Christianity, we are not just called to make a gift, we are called to make a sacrifice. And we see this reflected even at the very beginning of the Bible with Cain and Abel. Both Cain and Abel brought a gift to God. One was a farmer, one was a rancher, if you will. Both brought a gift to God, but only one of them was God pleased with. Why? Because one of them brought a sacrifice. It really was an offering of something of himself. We even hear this reflected in our first Eucharistic prayer today. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just. You see, God was pleased in Abel because he brought a sacrifice, not just a gift. Now, after this lamb was sacrificed, this unblemished, beautiful lamb, the blood was put into two bowls. And on one of those bowls, they took it and they poured it on the Ark of the Covenant, where they believed God resided. The other half was sprinkled on the people. Now, in our modern mindset, the idea of somebody coming around and sprinkling with us with blood is pretty gross, right? I mean, imagine if I'd slaughtered some animal and then sprinkled you with blood at Mass today. You know, yuck. But what it did for the Jewish people is it united the sacrifice. Remember, this is their favorite animal. This is their best they have. And they are being united with that sacrifice by blood. Brothers and sisters, the same thing still happens today in this Eucharist. You are united with the blood of the sacrifice, and that is the reception of Holy Communion. That the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for you, you get to consume. There's that beautiful image, if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, where the centurion pierces the side of Jesus with his lance. And out of Jesus comes flowing blood and water, as it says in Scripture. And it's beautifully depicted in that scene. And as he's being just sprayed and covered with this blood and water from the body of Jesus, this centurion kneels down in adoration because he realizes who has just been killed. That same blood and water flows upon us today. Water through the gift of baptism, which we renew each time we enter church. And the blood which we receive in this sacrament. When we began Mass this morning, one of the very first things we did is what is called the penitential rite. We confessed our sins, and the priest offered an absolution. This, too, is the transferring of our sins. That sin is taken away from the community. And we are encouraged to never look back. Here in a few moments, we will bring up our gifts of bread and wine, but they should not merely be gifts. Our offertory is, we are called to make a sacrifice. The first and the best of what we have. And in this Eucharist, which we will soon receive, the blood of the Lamb is united with the people of God so closely that we become one flesh with Him. So as you receive Corpus Christi, the body of Christ today, what sin do you need to lay upon the scapegoat and turn away from? What do you bring to an altar, not of gifts, but of sacrifice, so that you may be more closely united with this blood that has been shed for you?